Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And that debt is fraud. And when we're done with this interview with Tammy Young, we will talk about what's coming up. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, I have Tammy Young back here, and we were reading the Kentucky resolutions. We're wrapping this up, and what we're going to dive into next will be the Virginia resolutions. So I'm not sure what we will get to that, because there's some things I want to do to help set the stage for that today. So we were reading in Resolution 8, and Tammy, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Good to be back.
Is Tammy there? So in Resolution 8, and actually just to kind of encapsulate what we've covered so far, we covered Jefferson basically identifying the fact that the federal government is defined very specifically, and it cannot wander outside those enumerated objects. And in addition to that, they are very limited and defined on their jurisdiction over crime. They cannot just create a crime to punish the people. The only way they can do that is for the states to actually give them that authority. So he created this, you know, this kind of like this declaration in the very first resolution. And then he started auditing the Constitution against these alien and sedition acts. And so as we move forward into Resolution 8, this is where Thomas Jefferson kind of lays out what has to happen moving forward. He identifies that the state of Kentucky and all the states need to create committees of conference and correspondence. And because that's how they functioned, they created committees, and the committees had responsibilities, and they reported back, and the body of the whole was to, you know, kind of make sure that they stayed within the lanes that they were given. So anyway, they create these committees, and then he basically goes down this path that the states needed to basically coalesce or bond with them. And then he went into this next section that we just read regarding the nullification is the rightful remedy in undoing this. Now, I think at that point in time, and I'll do it again, the nullification he's talking about is the legitimate process of nullification when an entity assumes a authority that they don't have and creates a law regarding that authority, in other words, the Alien and Sedition Acts, then that entity has to nullify it. In other words, they created it. They are the ones that have to come back and say, oops, you know what? We do not have this authority. We are nullifying this. Now, some people think, well, the court can nullify and the jury can nullify and the states can nullify. For proper nullification to occur, the authorizing or the agency that created the problem has to clean it up. So in other words, when your child makes a mess, the proper process of cleaning that up or nullifying that is for the child to do it. And so, especially if you want to make sure that the child doesn't do that again. And so it's kind of like you got to hold them accountable and you got to make them undo what they did. And so this is kind of where we are at, where he kind of covered all of this. Now, at this point, we're about ready to move forward into the rest of the resolutions for Kentucky that Jefferson wrote. But before I do, let me just take a pause. And you know, we've got everybody up. Where and how is your campaign going? And as a matter of fact, folks, I just got the information. So by Monday, I will have Tammy's information. If you want to go to her website, donations, she has signed the pledge. So it is official. She is the first politician, a person running for office Now, I have one person that sent me the pledge back, but they didn't get the sheriff or notarized. They just signed it and sent it back. And so they kind of ignored the fact that we really need to want to have a corroborating witness that you are held to this. And so anyway, this is big because it's about time we, the people, start demanding that our public servants are focused on compliance to the Constitution, obtaining and getting our government into compliance. And why is that important? Because I just said so. That when the state, when the county legislators create something or they do something that's not within their authority, they need to push back and go, you know, you're asking us to do something we shouldn't do. And so you need to nullify this, or you need to tell the federal government to nullify it. We have to start pushing back. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Okay.
I think my campaign's, you know, it feels like it's going really well.
Uh-huh.
I get a lot of really great reception when I go out and knock doors.
Uh-huh.
I sent out my first mailer. I'm set to send out a second mailer here in the next couple days, and I have a goal to send out another one or two mailers. So uh-huh. I am a little behind in funds, so I am trying to raise some more funds.
Because mailers cost money, right? I mean, it costs money to communicate to your people. So, Have you differentiated yourself from your opponent regarding the bill that she voted against in the last session?
I have.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Great, because whatever excuse she has, it doesn't negate the fact that she's taken an oath to support. As a matter of fact, in the state of Wyoming, it's not just support the Constitution, it's support, defend, and obey. That is the legal language in the state of Wyoming, folks. It's not just support. Support, defend, and obey. So I have no idea how she's defending and obeying the Constitution, let alone supporting it by, you know, not calling for this committee to obtain constitutional compliance. I mean, how is the state going to become compliant to the Constitution unless they make a concerted effort? And this is the only process, this committee will be the only process of doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, in fact, she just got a mailer sent out on her behalf for Convention of States.
Oh.
For the Convention of States people.
Oh, okay. So instead of actually demanding compliance of the Constitution, she wants to change it.
Right.
Interesting. Okay, because that may be the focus. I'd be happy to help you with these things. You haven't asked me, but I'll extend my help in trying to help you with the mailer so that you could differentiate, you know, what she's asking to do is to actually create an opening so that the Constitution could actually radically change via this convention without identifying the problem of why we need a convention or even an amendment. But the bottom line is, that all of our problems come from unconstitutional government. And the fact that she voted against the process that would have obtained constitutional compliance sure makes her look bad. I mean, in other words, she doesn't care about compliance. And as a matter of fact, who knows? She actually may be in favor of creating a king and changing our form of government to becoming the constitutional framework being a judiciary form of government, that lawyers were to rule us, that they'll become the aristocracy of America. Technically, that's how it is today. They've created their own aristocratical status by the esquires, the bar association, and so forth. So anyway, I'd like to actually see that and see what you sent out, and then we can talk about your next mailer. But let me get this contact information and so forth up. Hopefully you can get some help. Folks, if you want to throw, and as a matter of fact, I'll use the Bernie Sanders method. You don't have to throw a lot. I would think that, you know, even 100 people, if they threw $500 at her, that would be a big help.
Well, that would be huge.
It'd be huge.
I don't think you'd need that much.
You know what, folks? one of the things that you don't understand, politics in Wyoming, because there's not a lot of people, the cost of the state legislature seat in many of the races, when I did the research, was less than $7,000 in expenses, you know, for the campaign expenses. And, you know, technically, I think there's people that do it even far less than that. They just go around and knock on doors and they, you know, hand out little flyers and so forth. So what I'm basically saying is any financial help could really make a big difference if you could contribute to her campaign. And the fact that she is now formally and officially endorsed, I beseech you to please support her and any of the other candidates that are being endorsed by Reclaiming the Republic, by myself, or those who signed these pledges, and go to the candidate endorsement page so you can see that pledge that she has signed, and therefore you can actually go, wow, this is where people really, this is how we hold them accountable. I mean, we already hold them accountable, but we want to impress upon them that they have to acknowledge that they're going to step aside if they fail to support the Constitution. And, you know, nobody necessarily understands the Constitution that well. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, if you don't understand, the biggest mistake you can make is not asking, is this constitutional?
Right.
Right. Because if you don't ask, do we have the authority to do this? Is this within our Constitution? Ah, no, but we're voting for it anyway because blah, blah, blah. Well, hold on here. If it's not within our Constitution, we shouldn't be voting for this.
And that's kind of that, you know, as I've been out talking to people, that's the main point that I've tried to get across to people, is that's the question I'm going to be asking first and foremost. Do we even have the constitutional authority to do this? Or to make a bill, or to spend money on this.
Right. Right. Because if you connect the dots, if we're creating government and we're creating regulations, we have to tax you to do that. And right. In other words, if we don't start challenging what we're allowing them to do, then because if they don't have the authority to do it and we stop them, then that means that they can't tax us anymore for that.
Right.
Right. And government wants to do everything for you, and what that will cost you is everything you've got.
Yeah.
Right. That's what, I forget, it was Benjamin Franklin, somebody said that, you know, when government can give you everything, then they can take everything from you. So anyway. All right. Well, great. I'm glad I got that. I'm glad to announce this. And anything else?
From the website where they can go to donate?
So, if you want to go ahead and put it out there, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just Tammy Young for Wyoming. So Tami Young, Young, for Wyoming.com.
Okay.
Tammy Young for Wyoming.com.
All right. And I'll have that link to your website, as well as direct links to your contributions and so forth. And other than that, any other way I can help with the mailers and help differentiating and help calling her out for, because obviously only a person that doesn't understand the Constitution would support a convention of states. And they take advantage of that fact that people don't understand the Constitution, because the convention of states is not a mechanism of holding government accountable. It is a mechanism of changing in a minute fashion or changing in a wholesale. Because the once you open up the convention, anything and everything is open to change.
Yeah.
Right.
Fortunately, that bill was that, because there was a bill related to convention of states, she voted for it, and fortunately it did not get enough support. So.
Right. And that's, I think, the Republic Review folks that have, you know, been footed for the past, you know, so many years, that's been the viable argument against it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, because that's one of the reasons why the Convention of States are actually speaking out against Republic Review now. I mean, you're the one that, you know, that's actually in their propaganda materials.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You know, they have to, and what they do is they attack it, and they're actually, they're libeling themselves because their assertions and their attacks are not founded. It's not based on any truth. So anyway, all right. Well, with that, let's get back into this resolution that we got to wrap up, Resolution 8. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll kind of read this last part from the nullification to the end, and then you can kind of take off where you left off reading. And this is what it says, folks. A nullification of the act is the rightful remedy. Now, he's not talking about single state nullification. He's talking about the proper nullification that Congress nullify this. That every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of power by others within their limits, that without this right, they would be under their dominion absolute and unlimited, or whatsoever might exercise this right of judgment for them, that nevertheless, this Commonwealth, from motives of regard and respect for its co-states, has wished to communicate with them on the subject to the other states, that with them alone it is proper to communicate, they alone parties to the compact and solely authorized to judge in the last resort of the powers exercised under it. Now, we're going to get to this, and I don't know if we'll have time with you, Tammy, but what he's saying here is the states can nullify this by pressuring Congress. What Madison clarifies is that what that pressure is it's called interposition. And Madison basically lays out that Jefferson, in the notes on nullification, Jefferson was not supposing that a state would just nullify and stay in the Union. And this is why when we get to the Kentucky Resolutions of 1799, that we will actually see how Jefferson doesn't nullify because he does not want Kentucky to secede from the Union. Why? Because it's like a parent. If you get divorced, you lose any say over your children. You know, when you secede from the family, when you leave, when you run away from something, you no longer have any ability to help. And anything that happened can basically, you know, you can consider you're contributing to the problem because you're not helping with the problem. This is why they were trying to really motivate the states to work together in creating these committees of convention and correspondence so that they could work together. And when we get into the Virginia resolutions, Madison will clarify this. And go ahead. So Congress, what?
Okay, so Congress being not a party, but merely the creature of the compact and subject as to its assumptions of power to the final judgment of those by whom and for whose use itself and its powers were all created and modified, that if the acts before specified should stand, these conclusions would flow from them, that the general government may place any act they think proper on the list of crimes and punish it themselves, whether enumerated or not enumerated by the Constitution as cognizable by them, that they may transfer its cognizance to the president or any other person who may himself be the accuser, counsel, judge, or jury, whose suspicions may be the evidence, his order the sentence, his officer the executor, and his rest the sole record of the transaction, that a very numerous and valuable description of the inhabitants of these states being, by this precedent, reduced as outlaws to the absolute dominion of one man and the barrier of the Constitution thus swept away from us all, no ramparts now remains against the passions and the powers of the majority in Congress to protect from a like exportation or other more grievous punishment the minority of the same body, the legislatures, judges, governors, and counselors of the states, not their other peaceable inhabitants, who may venture to reclaim the constitutional rights and liberties of the states and people, or who for other causes, good or bad, may be obnoxious to the views or marked by the suspicions of the president or be thought dangerous to his or their election or other interests, public or personal, that the friendless alien has indeed been selected as the safest subject of a first experiment, but the citizen will soon follow, or rather, has already followed, for already has a sedition act marked him as its prey, that these and successive acts of the same character, unless arrested at the threshold, necessarily drive these states into revolution and blood, and will furnish new
calamities. I think that's
okay. Calamities against Republican government and new pretexts for those who wish it to be believed that man cannot be governed but by a rod of iron, that it would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights, that confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is founded in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power, that our constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which, and no further, our confidence may go, and let the honest advocate of confidence read the Alien and Sedition Acts, and say if the Constitution has not been wise in fixing limits to the government it created, and whether we should be wise in destroying those limits, let him say what the government is, if it be not a tyranny, which the men of our choice have conferred on our president, and the president of our choice has asserted to and accepted over the friendly stranger, to whom the mild spirit of our country and its law have pledged hospitality and protection, that the men of our choice have more respected the bar suspicion of the president than the solid right of innocence, the claims of justification, the sacred force of truth, and the forms and substance of law and justice.
Okay, so you just hit the end of the sentence. So what you just read was literally an extended sentence from what I read. I mean, if you actually look for punctuation, you'll realize that that sentence started way up.
That's the longest sentence I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so Jefferson, I think, has been probably the one that's wrote the longest. I mean, this is like over a page and it's a sentence. So anyway, what he's basically going through here is he's just talking about how important this is, that we cannot allow this to happen, because if they do this, they will start assuming more and more power. Now, some of the things, and one of the things that I really want to point out is this is where the word creature is used, because it says Congress being not a party, but merely the creature of the compact. So, folks, when we look at the federal government is not the all-supreme power that, you know, was created on the earth. They were supreme only in the things that we delegated to them for declaring war, for national security. But when it comes to the domestic tranquility of commerce and those types of things, they're to serve as a traffic cop, not to regulate how we make or what we do with our commerce within our states, but just to make sure that the states don't play badly amongst each other. So in other words, they're kind of just like the referee. They can't come in and say, you can't hold the ball, you can't do these things. And what they're doing today, they're basically telling states, you can't harvest your trees. You can't use the minerals under your feet to be able to put into the marketplace. In other words, they've assumed what he's talking about, how we basically start doing this, it literally... and what was the word here? Because he used it. It's like the walls, the buttress, There was another word for it. But he basically points out that when you take down the wall, it just makes it easier. When they make a hole in the wall to do this, it makes it easier for them to make the next hole and the next hole and the next hole. That bottom line, he's kind of concluding that going down this path, we will not have, you know, a just government. We will have a tyrannical, despotic government that will basically tell us how much water our toilets are going to flush. And that's what we have today. That's what we have, right?
That's what we have. We're right there.
And they don't have that authority. We never gave them that authority. And so there's an incestuous relationship between the corruption of the federal government and the corruption of the state government. Because what happens is when the federal government creates a new role, and I'll give you a good example. When they created the Environmental Protection Agency, they came out with, you know, they came funded, Congress funded this thing called the Environmental Protection Agency, and to go out and basically fund the states to create like interfaces to work with them in basically receiving federal regulation so that the state could comply to these environmental standards. And so they didn't go to the states and say, hey, would you guys amend the Constitution so we could do this? And then before we do this, you may want to actually amend your own Constitution because you're going to need to do this too. There was no amending process. Just like with labor, there's very few states that have labor delegated to the government. I mean, in other words, the government doesn't dictate and regulate labor in your state. You don't have the authority. The only reason that they do this is because the federal government came along in the 1930s. They started creating the regulations under Teddy Roosevelt. I think it was like 1906 or something. But when they started moving forward under Roosevelt, FDR, that they were, you know, they're getting serious. They literally started bringing funding into the states, and the states started creating these regulations and laws to where now today they actually have control over what the minimum wage can be in your state. Go look at your state constitution, folks, and you tell me where you gave the state, the government, the authority to establish a minimum wage. Technically, we're supposed to have a free market that anybody willing to work should be able to do that. And what they did by creating minimum wage, they also in addition to what they did in creating minimum wage, they also started bringing in these things, these parasites called unions, where unions would come in and basically place a tax on the company to make sure that everybody got an equal fair pay, got treated equally, instead of allowing you to go and compete on your own and excel. You basically get thrown, if you're in a union shop, then you can't excel, or you make everybody look bad. So the whole point is that he's making here is, you know, we've got to do this. We cannot allow this to continue. Right? And so now he starts off with this next sentence. And so go ahead. And actually, this is a short sentence because the following sentence is in the red. So go ahead. Go ahead and pick it up in question of powers.
All right. In question of powers, then, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution.
Isn't that brilliant? That's just brilliant. Keep going. I'm sorry.
That this Commonwealth does therefore call on its co-states for an expression of their sentiments on the acts concerning aliens and for the punishment of certain crimes herein before specified, plainly declaring whether these acts are or are not authorized by the federal compact. And it doubts not that their sense will be so announced as to prove their attachment unaltered to limited government, whether general or particular, and that the rights and liberties of their co-states will be exposed to no dangers by remaining embarked in a common bottom with their own, that they will concur with this Commonwealth in considering the said acts as so how do you say that word? palpably against the Constitution, as to amount to an undisguised declaration that that compact is not meant to be the measure of the powers of the general government, but that it will proceed in the exercise over these states of all powers whatsoever, that they will view this as seizing the rights of the states and consolidating them in the hands of the general government, with a power assumed to bind the states, not merely as the cases made federal cases.
Yeah, casus foederis. That's Latin. He's throwing Latin in here.
Okay.
But
in all cases whatsoever, by laws made not with their consent, but by others against their consent, that this would be to surrender the form of government we have chosen, and live under one deriving its powers from its own will and not from our authority, and that the co-states, recurring to their natural right in cases not made federal, will concur in declaring these acts void and of no force, and will each take measures of its own by providing that neither these acts nor any others of the general government not plainly and intentionally authorized by the Constitution shall be exercised within their respective territories.
Okay, so stopping right there. Palpably, by the way, means blatantly. You know, in other words, considering the said act so blatantly against the Constitution. Okay, so he's basically stating that the states need to draw the line. The states need to basically call these things null and void. Madison, in the following state, in the Virginia resolutions, he really defines this far clearer of what has to happen. Now,
okay, that's my question, is what do we do?
Okay, so, and he will kind of lay it out, but he basically, what they didn't do is they didn't lay out the blueprint of the process. What they did was they said, we are, as the parties have to combine and work together to force the federal government to withdraw that law. And so that is what comes out from the Virginia resolutions and then the next Kentucky resolutions. And then as Madison clarifies in his report on the Virginia resolutions, and then as he clarifies even further regarding nullification, because what happens? See, I hate saying this because Jefferson was a brilliant man, and Jefferson did understand constitutions, but he didn't understand the makeup of the Union per se, or at least as he started down this path, kind of selling this idea that we the states, because he kind of polluted the pool in making people think that single states could nullify. Because, and Madison points out in the notes on nullification that in so doing, every state can cherry pick what laws they want to abide by, what laws they don't, then that just creates chaos in the Union. And then what it also does, especially if we allow the federal government, because if the federal government's been kind of friendly and allowing, you know, these little nullifications to go on, but in the meantime, while they're allowing that to happen, they build up an offensive army to come in, swoop in, and be able to start going after those states that are doing that. Then we've got a real big problem, because...
So how many states do we need to...
27.
Or 27.
27. Okay. We need 27 states to actually create the results we want. What we can do in the interim, as soon as we get one state to try to draw this line, it's not that one state will nullify those acts. Not one state will actually be able to start doing things without unfettering, because you can't really nullify the act. But what you can do, and it's not ignoring it, but it's basically the right of preservation. Let's just say... that for whatever purposes, your government has created a law that makes it illegal for you to have chickens. that you can't grow your own food because you live within the city limits. And so they create this law, and for the most part, it kind of, you know, and it's for purposes so that people don't start having livestock, health problems, those types of things. But they don't have the authority to make that law, because fundamentally, every person has a right. If you have property, if that's your property, you have a right to use your property how you see fit if it comes to your survival. It is antithetical to think the government, who's there to protect your private property rights and to protect your life, to not allow you to survive on your property. To say, oh, go ahead.
What's the difference between the government or the state and the city making an ordinance saying you can't have chickens?
What's that? I'm sorry.
So what's the difference between the government, the state, the federal, or the... Because currently, you know, a lot of cities have, or towns have, ordinances saying that you can't have chickens.
Absolutely. And that's because there are chickens, and you have chickens available at the store. And, or, you know, eggs are available at the store. Go get them there. Now, what's really where we're heading, folks, is if everybody sees what's going on with the death of chickens and the availability of eggs because of all of this, the cost is going up. Everything is going up, but the food, specifically livestock stuff, they're killing our animals. And as a matter of fact, I don't think they're killing all of them. I think China's shipping them over, because China has bought out the American food production services. And so, you know, Smithfield Foods are, you know, bacon, ham, and all of that. Fact of the matter is, we're going to get to a point where we're going to be starving, and I think people are going to start, you know, building maybe not even chicken coops, because you may not have access, unless you know somebody with chickens, that you can get some egg or some hatchlings to start your own chicken farm. But if not, then I see people, because I saw this in Detroit during the downturn of the Detroit economy in the 80s, where there were some people that were basically catching rabbits and putting them in pens and raising rabbits for food and so forth. And so, you know, we have to do what we have to do. And if government comes in and they actually take away your ability to fund, in other words, they're taking away the most precious, some of the most precious inalienable rights that we have. The right to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that is where most people just see, as a matter of fact, Jonas Goldberg or Greenberg, it's one of the two. His name, first name's Jonas. He has a book. It's called Totalitarianism in America or something like that. It's a red book with a smiley face. And if you want the title, just send me an email or just call me and I'll give it to you. But it's pretty easy to find. It's Totalitarianism, and it's a red book with a big yellow smiley face, you know, the old smiley face button, right? And so in this book, he says America could never be really evilly totalitarian because we're too nice. That we'll always, you know, be a nice totalitarian. Well, I believe that that may be the case prior to all of these problems that government is creating, the pandemics and all of the things that they're using to exploit and to control us more, along with all of the ways they're waging warfare against us. But what I see happening is that we literally will have a very evil and dark totalitarian government. I believe that that's where we'll probably go. But I believe that that will just basically be when the mass purging occurs, if that makes sense, because a lot of people are going to die because there won't be good food and so forth and so on. I mean, only those people that will die, that won't die, will be those people that have, you know, the preppers and that type of stuff, because I don't think we'll be able to rely on government or anything else. So having chicks, having livestock, or, you know, having access to and knowing people to say, you know, hey, I want to be able to come and get some chicks from you. And having the things to support the chicks. I mean, okay, you know, I could just imagine somebody bringing home some chicks and having some chickens, but not having the right food to feed them. And why aren't they laying eggs? And, you know, folks, what we need to know to survive has been basically pounded out of us. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
I think the majority of America, I believe people in Wyoming know how to survive because that's a part of life in Wyoming. But that's not the part of life in California. That's not the part. I mean, the people that live in the country, rural America, they kind of have an understanding of what it takes, you know, to go fishing, you know, to raise chickens, to have some livestock and, you know, how to take care of them. But everybody else that is basically, you know, turn their back on husbandry. Husbandry means farming. Actually, husbandry is the oldest profession in the world because raising crops and raising food and that type of stuff, that was the first thing that Adam and Eve did. That was a profession. And so most people say, oh, prostitution. No, husbandry. Husbandry goes all the way back. And so most people, because they never had to and their parents never had to, they just don't know this stuff. And yeah. You know, you can try to live by trial and error, but that's where most people die.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's wrap up the ninth resolution. It's kind of short, and then we can kind of set the stage because we're about 40 minutes in, and it's about now to wrap up so we can kind of wrap up the show, and we'll have you back again next week. But anyway, go ahead. What resolution 9, go ahead. It's a short one, folks.
All right, so 9, resolved that the said committee be authorized to communicate by writing or personal conference at any times or places, whatever, with any person or persons who may be appointed by any one or more co-states to correspond or confer with them, and that they lay their proceedings before the next session of assembly.
Okay, so what he's doing, because at this point in time, the harvest and all that, some of the governments aren't in session. And so, because they have different times of session. So he's basically saying, we need to make and create the network of communications and start getting people appointed. It's basically just telling people, okay, let's do this. Let's start talking. Let's start working, having conventions or meetings and committees and conferences and so forth. So, so he basically sends this out so that he spurs the other states to basically confer with Kentucky. And so when we come back next week, I'll kind of set the stage of what happened between October and December and kind of lay the stage so that we can kind of see, you know, why and what Madison did. So anyway, is reading this, is my forcing you to read this help? Does this help?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And so, one, if you know what you read and where you read it, and if you read this again, it'll be a little easier, but you'll get more out of it. And then as you read these, because understanding the Constitution is important, but understanding the framework of our republic is even more important because we have to know who really is in control of the federal government. Well, everybody in the world believes it's the Supreme Court. In other words, they're in control of themselves. And that is not the truth. That is a lie. The framework and the way this Constitution was designed and the way it was stipulated in the ratification debates, and as well as they're laying it out in these resolutions, hey, remember that they're not the parties to the compact. They have very specific roles, responsibilities, powers, and these objects we delegated to them. And beyond that, they can't meddle with it. So we have to do this. And that's why we have all of the problems, because we've never been taught this, and we don't know who actually needs to fix the problem. We're running to the courts and saying, hey, will you fix this? Oh, yeah, this is how we make money. Sure, make us rich. Bring it on. And they get away with it. And so technically the parties, that's another way people, you know, they go, oh, we're going to use the party to do this. Now, unfortunately, and I'll just finish with this, because actually next week, if you could come back with the documentation or the information, I'd love it. I understand in the GOP convention, did you go to the convention this year?
I did.
And so I understand in the convention there was a resolution, or it basically was presented to the body of the delegates at the convention, that the party wanted to create standards for the people who are in the party. In other words, and I'd like to see what those things were, because I understand, you know, like some person out by, it wasn't Natrona or out in Jackson, the Teton area, one of those types of, you know, progressive areas where we shot this down, and everybody's going, oh, that's so good. You're protecting us from these Nazis in the GOP. And bottom line, what they're talking about is they don't want to make sure that we have standards. In other words, it's okay to have a standard for, you know, your surgeons. It's okay to have standards for your plumbers and your electricians, your butchers. You know, all professions are to have standards. But when we talk about the politicians and our party, to ensure that the people that are operating in the party, as well as our politicians, having standards. Because I had this conversation years ago, and I'm so happy that Frank brought this forward. I don't know if he brought it or he finally got this thing matured. But when you actually start holding people accountable to standards, then you can actually get rid of bad actors. But this idea that we want a free-for-all and we want to be able to let everybody just continually frustrate us,
yeah,
that doesn't fly anywhere other than government. And that's why, you know, this is a big step. And if you have the documentation that you could send me, I'd really appreciate it, because then we can kind of talk about it, because I'd like to see the documentation, because then I can speak eloquently regarding it, if that makes sense. So
I'll find it.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you so much for coming on. And folks, again, what is that website? Tammy Young for...
Tammy Young for Wyoming. And my name is spelled T-A-M-I, and it's F-O-R, not the number. So Tammy, and is T-A-M-I.
Is it Wyoming spelled out, or is it just W-Y?
It is Wyoming spelled out. I should have just... done. Yeah.
Yeah, you could have. You could have gone short, but that's okay. Tammy, T-A-A-M-Y, Y-O-U-N-G, F-O-R, W-Y-O-M-I-N-G .com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just T-A-M-I. T-A-M-I.
Yeah, I said that. Okay, oh, yeah. Okay. We got it. And thank you so much for coming on. And folks, let me kind of do a sum up so that we can prepare you for the next show. Because what we want to do is we want to actually dive into, with Tammy, we want to dive into the Kentucky resolutions, and then we'll dive straight back into the Kentucky resolutions of 1799, straight back into, we haven't covered them. But what we need to do is we need to have Tammy and every state legislature completely understand that the constitutions that have been created both at the federal level and the state level are fundamental compacts. The fundamental compacts and the parties to the compacts for the federal levels, the states, county levels, at the state compact. In other words, those who were responsible in holding government directly accountable to the Constitution. Now, I'm running into all sorts of people. We're going to have other people on the phone. And actually, one of the persons that I want to talk to is a person that is diving. He's actually running for governor in the state of Washington. So getting him on, hopefully next week, will be really big, because they're just in the throes of their primary. And he is a person that understands the administrative process of holding people to the law when they usurp their office. In other words, they fail to sign their oath. And so there's a lot of problems with all of this. And it's good that there's these people that are at least fighting. But in the big picture, that won't get government to do what it's supposed to be doing. So getting rid of these evil culprits that have put themselves into vulnerability, that have usurped office and so forth, that's good. I mean, I can't say that's a bad thing, but that all that does is it replaces that person with somebody else and to make sure that they take their oath. Okay, but how does that undo the Environmental Protection Agency? How does that undo education? How does that undo the Leviathan that their predecessors at the federal, state, and county levels have allowed to actually grow and actually consume our wealth? So this is why helping people understand that that's not enough. That will not solve the problem. You may get bad people out. And I think this goes back to this desire that America wants vengeance. They want to hold people accountable. I agree we need to hold people accountable. But if we're not banning them because they failed to support the Constitution and banning them for life, folks, then all we're doing is we're getting intermediate justice. We have to start applying every facet of the Constitution as a weapon. There have been plenty of things added to this. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of enlightening, and I'm looking forward to providing the details of how Tammy is being challenged by somebody who is in the pockets for the Convention of States. In other words, here's a person that doesn't care about solving the problem. They only care about, they're willing to take money for a bureaucratic entity, an NGO, because what is the Convention of States? It is a non-government organization that is trying to directly affect our government. We should not be allowing these types of things. And when we see politicians, you know, align with and take that money, they need to be called out. So there's a lot going on. We've got, these things are important because this is where we're getting to ground truth, getting candidates to become champions for the Constitution. You get rid of bad players, get rid of bad politicians, there's a good likelihood that the person that replaces them, unless you've developed them and nurtured them, and I've been working with Tammy for a while, and so unless you develop and nurture and get them convinced that their focus is to support that Constitution and get government into compliance, then you will start seeing results. This is why I aired last year's 13-show series of what a constitutional president can do. You can place context to that regarding governors and all sorts of positions, because when we get people that are focused on the Constitution. I mean, there's lots of conservatives out there, and I've been working with a conservative, decent guy, but he basically backups every time I say, here's the Constitution, put it in your hands and use it. Instead, he prefers to create these consensus. He prefers to go down the path of trying to, you know, use political theatrics in trying to lead a way without leading on the solution. And it just frustrates me. It absolutely frustrates me. And so someday these people are going to be mentioned by name, because I'm getting so fed up, folks. I am absolutely at my wit's end. Now, I will also say this, because I only got a second. I had a great meeting with some locals in Washington State, and it looks like we've actually found some real champions on the Constitution, and I'm hoping to report that the petitions are on the move, and we've got a movement, not just in New York and other states, but in Washington State as well. What's holding you back to getting your state on the radar and actually start getting this movement going? I'm J.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.